Good morning.
Morning.
How's everybody doing this morning?
Good.
Okay, just okay. I'm so glad to be here with you all. It's Super Cool Sunday. So I remember Super Cool Sunday last year, I was in the pulpit as well. And I just enjoyed preaching on Super Cool Sunday. The illustrations, it's almost like they write themselves. It makes my work significantly easier. That's all I can say. I'm somewhat joking. But very, very excited. My dad's in Philly, so he's on a cruise right now with my mom for their anniversary. So they're going to get to enjoy the Eagles bringing it this evening in the Super Bowl. And it's going to be so much fun. I cannot wait. I'm a massive sports fan. My wife is a massive sports fan. But despite our love for sports, we are just so grateful for a community like this that's brought us in and allowed us to be here with all of you. We know what an important moment this is, and the moment in the pulpit is not something to take lightly. So we thank you. We thank you for the time that you battle for us and for the love that you are offering us this way. Before we start, I would like to pray, so if you would bow your heads in prayer with me. Lord God, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for this time. God, we thank you for the ability that we have to come to church on Sunday morning and worship. We thank you for all the missionaries across the world that are carrying your message into it. We thank you for the leaders in our lives. We thank you for your leadership into our lives. God, continue to work in and through us today. Continue to move through all of us. Bless us. Lord, if it's your will, let the Eagles bless you. Amen. Give a copy of God's word with you today. Please open it up with me to Joshua chapter 1. Again, that's Joshua chapter 1. The title of my message this morning is Strong and Courageous. Again, Strong and Courageous. Starting in verse 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Okay, everybody stop. Time out. What? Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the death of Moses? Did I just read that right? So if you just picked up your Bible, you started in Genesis, and you read all the way through to this point in time, you're probably sitting there going, well, duh. You flip back like one page, the end of Deuteronomy, we see the death of Moses. We see the passing of the guard. But if you've just picked up your Bible for the first time and you read that, maybe you have an idea of who Moses is. Maybe you have a knowledge of who he is. Our culture knows the name of Moses. All of us have some contact with who Moses was at some level in our lives. But as we read this, we don't really understand the impact of this first half of the first sentence of this passage. Now, some people consider Moses one of the great types for Christ. And what I mean by that is that he's one of the best symbols in the Old Testament that reflects to Jesus in the New Testament. And so Moses, an individual we all have probably heard of at some point or another, the leader of the Israelites, the person who was going to take the Israelite people out of captivity in Egypt and into the promised land. Unfortunately, he doesn't get to go to the promised land. But instead, Moses is dead. Now, every one of us, we know the impact that a good leader can have on our lives. Whether it's a boss, or a teacher, or any number of different leaders that we've had in our lives, we know the difference between a good leader and a bad one. Now, again, I said earlier, I'm a big sports fan, and while I do love football, that's not my first sport. My first sport is soccer. I love soccer. Not only do I love soccer, but I know it as football. I love English soccer. One of my favorite teams is Manchester United. Now, Manchester United is a world-renowned team. If you don't know who they are, they're one of the biggest, I would argue, the biggest soccer team in the whole world. And back in the 90s, in the 2000s, the early 2000s, they had a coach. His name was Sir Alex Ferguson. He's a knight because of his accomplishments in coaching soccer. Now, he was there from 1986 all the way until 2013. And during his time at Manchester United, he won a grand total of 13 Premier League titles. That's the equivalent of a Super Bowl. So in their terms, he won 13 Super Bowls in 27 years. In the United States, that would be unheard of. We have no idea. We have no idea of dominance like that in this country when it comes to sports. Back in 2013, Sir Alex Ferguson, his health began to decline. He decides he needs to take a step away. He decides that it's time, after all this dominance, year after year, title after title, that it's time for him to retire. And that was 10 years ago. I still remember the speech he gave at Old Trafford, where Manchester United plays, when he said goodbye to the fans. He was a fierce and strong leader. The teams changed in those 27 years. They grew, they shrank, they had different personalities, come in and out. The one who remained the same was Sir Alex Ferguson. Now, since 2013, since his retirement, Manchester United, my team, the football team that I love and care so deeply about, has won a grand total of 0 Premier League titles. Now, hopefully this year we have a new coach in. We'll see what happens. It's a possibility this year, but the difference is stubborn. Now, Moses' resume precedes him. And let me be clear, Sir Alex Ferguson is a great man. He's not Moses. Moses' resume, it precedes him. And right here, in the first sentence of this passage, Moses is dead. Who will lead these people? Who will be the one to take them into the promised land? You would read with me again in verse 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. So now arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the sons of Israel. Take every place on which the sole of your footsteps I have given to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea towards the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No one will be able to oppose you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not desert you nor abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous. Be very careful to do according to all that the law Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may achieve success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will achieve success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. Now verses 1 through 5, they clarify two different things for us. First, they clarify who was going to lead this people. It's Joshua. Surprise, the name of the book. So, of course, it's Joshua. And as we understand that God affirms Joshua as the leader of the Israelite people, the truth is that Joshua is not God's backup plan. I think sometimes we read this text and we go, oh, Moses is dead. What are we going to do? God, you got another option for us? Moses was our guy. Like, are we going to rely on him or are we going to do something else? And you think, oh, well, I guess God went with Joshua. Let's go with him. Let's pick him. Yeah. Friends, that's not the intention of this text. Joshua is not the backup plan for Moses. Joshua is the plan. And I think at times in our lives, we think that the suffering and the pain and the death that we experience leads to God's backup plan. But friends, it's clear here that the death of Moses, the hardship of that, the pain, can you imagine? God was using every bit for his glory and to build up Joshua as the leader of Israel. Joshua was the plan. The second thing that God does in this passage is that he reminds Joshua of the land that's been promised to Israel. He references where they're going from and to the land that's going to be within their control. I mean, he does the same thing for Moses in Deuteronomy. He clarifies where this promised land is. And you can imagine they've been in slavery for so long. This is their inheritance by their birthright because they're the Jews, they're God's people, and he's given it to them. But they still have no idea or sense of what this promised land really looks like. And so God reminds Joshua and reminds the people of the land that they are going to inherit. And as God reminds Joshua of this land, and God reminds his people, he also reminds Joshua of the promises that he bestowed upon Moses. Back in Deuteronomy 31:6, he says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and dream of them, for the Lord your God is the one who is going with you. He will not desert you nor abandon you." So God affirms the blessings that he gave to Moses in Deuteronomy to Joshua and the Israelite people as they're carrying them out into this promised land. Now the author of Hebrews in the New Testament, he also calls upon these verses. He talks to the believers in Christ. He says, "I will never desert you nor will I ever abandon you. So we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid." Now these words in Joshua, they serve to remind us of the continuing promises that God has given us. And it connects to a critical biblical theme. See, it connects the idea of strength and courage of God and his presence within us. Now, in all honesty, I've had a pretty good week this week. I'm excited for the Super Bowl. I'm excited for this weekend. But I refed a soccer game last night, and I am feeling it this morning. I'm feeling it. Oh, I'm sore. Body hurts. And this morning when I woke up, I could have done something unimaginable. I could have rolled over and said, ah, pain, hurt, struggle that I'm going through this week. Man, I just don't think I can go reach this. I don't think I have the courage and the strength to show up. But instead, because of God's presence within me, it is a little exaggerated, but in all honesty, he gave me strength, as he does every single day, to roll out of bed, get my clothes on, shower, shave, get downstairs, and come on my way. And this theme, this idea that God's presence within us gives gracious is present throughout Scripture. It's present in Matthew 28:16. And the text writes, "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountainside which Jesus had designated to them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and in the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" These are instructions, commandments given to us by Jesus to go. He will be with us. While this passage, it gives us strength and courage, it also should remind us of our purpose and why our strength and courage fills us. It fills us so that we might be able to go and carry the message, to share the good news, not just me, every one of us who has the heart of Jesus inside is the goal. Now, in verse 6, the second thing God does is he commands Joshua. He's accepted Joshua, he's affirmed Joshua, he's told him, yes, you're the one with people. But then he transitions and he commands Joshua to do different things. Again, in verse 6, it says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you." So the first command is be strong and courageous. And I get to repeat it three times here. It's the title of my message. It's the title of God's message to Joshua. But the second thing that God commands Joshua is to hold the book of the law. So what's the book of the law? Well, book of the law is the first five books written by Moses as instruction, as a memory for the Israelite people to hold and to remember their God. Book of the law is not some mundane list of commandments that can seem arbitrary to us, but they're intended to do two things. To remind us of how good our God and to remind us how desperately we need our good God. But as God commands Joshua to hold the book of the law, it's intended to remind him to just immerse himself in the text. For Israelites, and many of us, we have no conception or knowledge of this, but the immersion in the text is not just, I know the book of the law, or I know the words of Scripture. The immersion in the text is the memory, the commitment, the everyday recitement, the focus, and the knowledge of who God is through his word. My wife's parents, my in-laws, were in Israel recently. They talked to one of the guides who was a Messianic Jew. As they traveled and as they talked with him, someone who is Jewish, formerly Jewish, now a Christian, who lives in Israel, as they traveled and talked, they got a perspective for his way of life. The land that they're in, and the words of Scripture that we kind of just, we know of, and we think about, for him, it was everything. This land is the people and the land of his ancestors. This is where his all the way back have lived and thrived because of God's word and promise. See, we think when we do scripture memory that we're getting a picture of what the Jews are trying to do throughout the Old Testament, the way that they understand the Bible, but the truth is we know nothing compared to. Most Jews have been reciting the Torah, the book of the law, since they were able to talk. because they were able to walk. And they would recite pieces of it every morning and every night before they go to sleep. And so when God is telling Joshua to hold the book of the law, this is what he means. He's saying, immerse yourself. Know the book of the law. Hold to it. Don't turn from the right to the left. No, hold to this faith that I have given you. And he says, be strong and courageous, for I will be with you. Do you want to read with me in verse 10? Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself. Within 3 days, you are going to cross this Jordan to go in and take possession of the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess it. But to the Reubenites, to the Gadites, and to the half-brother of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But you shall cross the head of your brothers in battle formation, all your valiant warriors, and shall help them until the Lord gives your brothers rest, as he has given you, and they will, and they also will possess the land which the Lord your God has given to them. Then you may return to your own land and take possession of that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan of the sunset. In this moment, we read as Joshua assumes command of the Israelites. Now it's not an assumption of command like we would think of it. But it's an assumption of command on very basic things. Immediately, he's giving them instructions, battle formations, strategic military plans. He's organizing the people of God so that they might go in to take those. And while he's doing that, these points of command, these ways in which he's commanding these people, they're the very, very basics of what's required within the mission. But notice with me, it's not just about the very basics of leadership in this moment in Joshua. But it's about the way that they prepare to go and take the land. The method in which they intend to go in and return to their people is almost, it's almost ritualized. As Richard Hess writes in his commentary, the second crossing takes the appearance of a ceremonial act of worship. The people are not fleeing an enemy, but preparing to do battle. Therefore, they must join together in acts of preparation and in the crossing itself. So not only do we see that Joshua accepts the command of God to lead the people, but he takes it to action. He applies it. Now, as such, the people, they begin to enter the promised land in a worshipful, responsive method. They're doing this because they love their God. And it's ritualized because this is an act of worship. To go in and to take this thing. Read with me in verse 16. They answered Joshua, saying, all that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Again, we get this phrase, be strong and courageous. And the phrasing is also accompanied by the earlier, may the Lord your God be with you, just as he was with Moses. And in this moment, we see Israel accept Joshua as their leader. Sometimes we don't think about the fact that it takes two to tango. It requires that the Israelites accept him to lead them into the promised land. Now, I think as believers, we sometimes think that it's our responsibility to therefore be strong and courageous. To be the one that others lead on, to be the one that leads the people. Even in my own life, there are times where I feel like there's pressure on me to be strong and courageous. Back when COVID first hit, my dad actually got really, really sick. He contracted coronavirus, and as a result of that, ended up getting 6 blood clots in his lungs. 3 on each side. He stumbled into the emergency room. And over the next week and a half, we had no idea whether he was going to live or die. At times, the doctors were convinced he wouldn't make it through the night. All the while, I'm at school, my mom and my younger sister, they're home, but they can't go see him because of all the restrictions, and understandably so, because they want to keep him safe. He has COVID. And in the midst of this roller coaster and the struggle and the tribulation, there was a night where we were absolutely convinced he was going to die. The doctors had made it clear. They told my mom, be prepared. I was expecting to have to drive up, knowing that I probably wasn't going to get to see him before he died. And that night, I remember being on the phone with my sister, my younger sister, and I remember telling myself inside my head, be strong and courageous. It's awful, it's hard, it's tragic, and it's going to be so hard for me to walk through this, but God's got this. I need to be strong and courageous. My sister, I'm going to talk to her on the phone, and I'm going to be strong, and I'm going to encourage her, and let her know that we'll be okay. And as she was quoting scripture to me, She told me in bold faces, just said, stop. You're not the one who's supposed to be strong and courageous. I don't need to hear that from you. I don't need to hear that it's going to be okay for you. Friends, the one thing I forgot in that moment, one thing I didn't think about, is that it's not my job to be strong and courageous. Friends, Joshua is the one who's supposed to be strong and courageous. And friends, we are the Israelite people. Joshua was the one who's supposed to be strong and courageous. Just like Jesus is the one who was strong and courageous for us. And his strength and his courage. Yes, but we are supposed to gain strength and courage from his presence within us. We have to remember that our ultimate strength and our ultimate courage comes from the ultimate strength and courage within us. It's Jesus. We are the Israelite people being led into the promised land by our wonderful and courageous leader in Christ. And the promises that God bestowed upon Joshua and the Israelite people, they're carried out today. The same promises are alive in Jesus. They're alive in every one of us who have him as our saving grace. And those of us who know God through his Son, they know that God is always with us. He resides in our hearts. As we read this passage, we have to remember that he is our strength and courage. Amen. My dad did not die. He recovered and continues to recover to this day. And it wasn't a moment where I had to step up and be strong and courageous and to lead my family. But there will come a time where he does pass. And that moment, that hardship, that tragedy, that unthinkable idea of my dad's death, it's now prepared me to recognize that in that moment, as strong and courageous as I may want to be, my ultimate responsibility is to rely on Jesus to do it. So today I ask, are you relying on Jesus in the same way? Are you relying on him to be the one who's going to lead the charge into battle? Are you relying on him to be the one who's strong and courageous? Have you ever relied on him to be this? As if you live a life that's been changed by the good news of Jesus, then you've accepted that you are not strong and courageous enough, that you never will be. But you've accepted that it's okay. Because he did. Let's pray. God, as we sit here today, as we read from your word and we understand what it means for us, as we interpret it and learn and grow from it, God, we beg that you continue to work through your word the same way that you impacted the Israelites and Joshua in this time. That you would continue to impact our hearts in this way. God, I pray now in this moment that if there's anyone in this room today who does not know Jesus in the way that I've described, who does not know him as the Lord and Savior, the one who knew no sin, became sin for us and died our death that we deserved, but rose again 3 days later. God, I pray that they would know the salvific work of Christ. They would know who you are. That they would know of your presence. They would know of your power. They would know of your strength and courage that resides within the hearts of the believers today. Friends, I beg that they would turn to you. They would recognize. God, for those of us who do know you, who trust you, have confidence in you, God, I beg that you would remind us of our strength and courage this week. Remind us of the hope that we have in us, and remind us of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we need to be reminded of every single day. Give us strength and courage to share your word. It's in your name we pray.
Amen.